This morning, we're going to be looking into 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at what sometimes is seen as a list, and so we rush through it. I don't know if you do that, but when I'm reading in my devotions and I come to a list of names, sometimes I skim over them, like, oh yeah, I can't read that one, don't know that one, and quickly get to the end of the list. Or if there's a list of sins, how easy it is to just go, oh, they're talking about bad things, and quickly, you know, read the words, but just don't let them impact me, and then go on. Or as in the case of this passage here in 2 Peter chapter 1, we have a list of the great and exceeding promises of God, a list of the virtues that we can aim toward, and how easy it is to just quickly skim over them, and they pass by us so quickly. But today we're going to stop and consider this list and show how wonderful God's promises are to us. We'll begin reading in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. We have here a list, but it's a glorious list and a little bit of a confronting list, because we find here some things that are to be added to our faith, and they are difficult. Now, before we look at that list, we do need to clarify, we are not adding to our faith in that our faith is somehow lacking in its effectiveness, or that is somehow less than sufficient to save us. But no, we are adding, as in adding something alongside another thing. You might have a set of chess pieces, right? They could be really fancy. And they might all be, say, pawns, for instance. They all have the same look, and they have the same power and importance. If you only had the one pawn left, you're going to lose that chess game, most likely. At least if you're me, you're going to lose that chess game. You need the whole army of chess pieces out there. And this is what we have here. We have faith as our entrance into a relationship with God. It is our beginning of salvation. And then as we continue in our Christian faith, there are some things we need to come alongside faith if we are going to show the great and wonderful salvation that God has done. If we are going to have that divine promise shown in our life. In verse 4, we see there the phrase that we might be partakers of the divine nature. You see, what he is describing in verses 5, 6, and 7 is the divine nature. Each one of us is born with a human nature. And not just a human nature, but a fallen human nature. And every child is me and mine and selfish from birth. Every child starts out not like this list. Instead, they are fleshly. They are ruled by their own desires, their own wants, their own wishes. And it takes time and effort to take a child who says, mine, 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 to a child who is at least able to be coerced into sharing. And then maybe eventually to enjoying sharing, in that they will then be able to play together a game. This progression doesn't happen without some input. Otherwise, children just remain selfish. We see here the divine nature is very different And you don't just work on one thing at a time with a child. You're often working on all the things, you know. They have to learn to pick up their room. They have to learn to take a bath. They have to learn to share. All of these things all at once. And it takes time. Here we have the divine nature. And when you're born into God's family, you have this precious promise of a divine kind of life growing inside of you that is more and more being evidenced in your day-to-day walk. And we can be partakers of this divine nature. I want us to be careful here. I'm not talking about a second blessing. I'm talking about us showing God's nature in our actions. This is not something that happens overnight. This is something that blossoms after flowering and then begins to fruit. It is a thing that grows in our life. And just like the fruit of the Spirit, it is not one thing. It is multiple areas in our life that are impacted. It is like bananas. If you have a banana tree and it has one banana, I don't know, you call them banana trees? Banana stalks, I don't know. If you have just one banana, it's a failure of a banana, isn't it? You're like, that tree was useless. One banana. How's your banana going? Oh, it's going great. My one banana is going great. No, you have a whole clump, a couple of hands, hopefully more, on your banana tree. You have lots of bananas. And they're all growing at once. And they start out really small and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you could use any fruit there. I know some of you, you're like, I don't know what a banana looks like. No, not up here. Everyone knows what a banana looks like. Maybe for you, you've seen grapes or you've seen apples. They start out small and they grow bigger and bigger. And if your apple tree only has one apple, that's going to be sad. But if you have lots of apples, it's great. Here we have the fruit of the Spirit and we have the fruit or the divine nature. And it's not just one, but it's a whole constellation. It's a whole group of these fruit, this nature showing up. And it's shows up small and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. In verse 5, we have a command or instruction. And this is actually just as important as this list. Because truthfully, you could read this list of things, virtue and patience, and you'd be like, okay, yep, I've got it, or oh, that's unattainable. But we have a command. And this command really puts into a clear focus the target for us. In verse 5, he says, give all diligence. Three words, give all diligence. This is a hugely difficult thing. It's not just be diligent, but give all diligence is to put everything you've got into being diligent. Put everything you've got into being diligent. What's diligence like? Diligence is that consistent, constant practice. It is that effort that is continuous. You know, if you do something one day, you know, maybe you're having a diet. I don't know, some people do those things. And you do it on the one day, you can say, oh, I started my diet. That is not going to impact much, is it? One day now. We all know that it takes diligence. You have to keep at it over time in order for it to have any kind of effect. And there's so many other aspects of life. I know when I was a child, my sister exhibited diligence in such a way that I still think about it sometimes. When she was 5, she wanted to play the piano. She begged for months, I want to play the piano. I want to learn the piano, until my parents finally let her start playing the piano after her 5th birthday. And she practiced every day. That was the requirement. You have to practice every day. She practiced every day. Rain or shine, whatever was happening, she practiced. And she practiced 45 minutes. That's a long time when you're 5 years old. She practiced 45 minutes a day. And then later it was more. Every day. It showed its fruit at the end. After, 15 years or so, she was accomplished as a pianist in ways that I can't even imagine how you can do that, you know. Five fingers and going that fast and it sounds good? No, that's not me. But the diligence that she exhibited, it wasn't I took a day off. No, for all of those years, I think I heard her miss her practice maybe once. Every day, without fail, she played. And that was the practice, not just playing for fun. She practiced every day. It was diligence. And you could insert in there any sport that you might remember as a child that you played. You don't reach the top unless you are practicing your sport every day. You know, some people are naturally better than others at this or at that, but nobody reaches the top unless they are diligent in their efforts to attaining their goal. And here we are told to give all diligence. This is our whole heart being put in every single day. No breaks, no let up. As we go through this list, we will see some hilarious examples of if you did one particular aspect of this divine nature, but you failed, if you forgot to be diligent one day, how it would undo the whole. It would undo all of the good that had been done. We see here the most important part of this divine nature is not that it is seen once, but that it is seen continuing day after day after day. And here I give us a warning. Do not be looking for the quick fix. You say, I need more patience. Don't pray that I need more patience now, God. Like, that's not how it works. It's a day after day after day thing. Every day working closer and closer towards that goal. And it means putting everything you've got into it. That means sometimes you have to stop and think about it. How am I attaining this goal, this virtue in my life? What is some way that I can encourage myself to accomplish this task? As parents, we often look at our children and we say, you know what, I'd like them to get better at this particular thing, you know. They need to work on their attitude in this way. How do I accomplish that task? Well, for each child, it's different. Some of them, you need to encourage them with things that they can have as reward. Others, you just need to give them a stern look, and you can do that consistently for a couple of days, and you'll have changed their behavior. We have to look at ourselves that way as well and give all of our intellect into how can I become more like this divine nature? How can I become more like this list of excellent virtues? How can I get there? How can I become more tomorrow than I was yesterday in these areas? And that's what we should be doing, diligently practicing over and over, getting stronger at being this kind of person. Because this is something that God has promised we can be partakers of. This is something that is a precious and great promise. We can see our sinful old man cast away and this new man growing in strength every day. But it takes diligence. It takes diligence. So now let us look at the list itself. We need to add to our faith. And just so you know, I'm not making all of this up. In the Greek, this add to means to add alongside, not to add to make up a deficiency. It's to add alongside, just like you might have one good thing and another, one banana and a second banana. You're adding them, but you're not adding them because one was lacking. You're adding them because they're both equally good. We start out with faith. We start there because that is the entrance into salvation. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue. This is a word. It just means something that is comely. Something that is well proportioned. Add to your faith this comeliness of divine goodness. You know, it is one thing that we often see when we hear about God. He's holy, right? But we also hear that His holiness is His beauty. Here we are told to have virtue or holiness, its beauty, its comeliness being seen in our life. So having faith and not getting rid of that, but adding alongside of it, virtue. And then to virtue, we are to add knowledge. Now, this is not knowledge that puffeth up. Just put that in there. Don't be, I'm a scholar, I have all of my I's dotted and my T's crossed and everything is, you know, spell checked and typeset and, you know, everything's sorted. I'm knowledgeable. No, this is gnosko, the Greek word that means to know by experience. It is where wisdom and action meet together. It's where understanding and doing come together. This is knowledge, but it is not just knowledge. It's knowledge in action. Again, remember, we're to give all diligence in this. We're not to be like, okay, I've attained, tick, I've got knowledge. No, how is my knowledge of God more today than it was yesterday? How can it be more tomorrow than it is today? That is what our aim should be. Every day, more of Jesus would I know. Every day, deeper into understanding Him. Every day, a closer walk with Him. There's so many hymns we could go into at this point that deal with this theme. But here it is. Faith, virtue, knowledge. Not knowledge to puff us up, but knowledge in our closeness of walk with God. This is divine nature. In verse 6, we find we are to add to knowledge temperance. Now, this is not talking about drinking temperance here, or not drinking. It is talking about being self-controlled or in moderation. Again, in English, we have gotten a very twisted picture of this word, moderation. We look at everything as if there are two extremes and you just have to aim in the middle of that somewhere. And that's not what moderation means. Moderation means your target is set. It's a bullseye out there at that particular distance. And you need to aim for that bullseye, that center. And if you're too high or too low or to the right or to the left, you're wrong. You've missed it. You've missed the mark. Moderation is to hit that mark dead on. If you go shooting, don't go shooting with Miles. Not only did he have a birthday, but he's a sharpshooter. He hits the bullseye too much, okay? It'll show you up. Don't go shooting with him. But if you are to hit the mark, you need to be aimed at the correct mark. Here, moderation is a controlled thing. We are to be temperate. Temperate. That doesn't just mean avoiding excesses. It means aimed at the correct object and therefore able to hit it every time. It does apply to alcohol as an example, though. If you are drinking, then you are not under control and you are missing your mark. If you are out of control due to alcohol, you are not temperate. So it is an example of what not to do. And this actually is a good place to point out what we already hinted at, that if you are not diligent every day, you are missing the mark. Your diligence means you must be working on all of these every day, growing in them, because just like someone who is a recovering alcoholic, someone who has given up drinking, if they have been good day after day after day after day after day after day, and then they drink, they are no longer walking with God. They've failed, right? They've lost that battle. And they're like, oh, I give up, I failed. I've been good, I've been doing what God led me to do, to give up the drinking, and now I've failed in it. That one day is a break. It is a destruction of the day-by-day diligence in that growth. And they can no longer say, I am being temperate. They can say, I was. And then hopefully they can come back to it. By the way, this is just a little hint. We are not perfect in our diligence. But God is gracious every day, and He does not take away this promise just because we fail. He just encourages us to come to Him, to join in with Him in these aspects in our life that our nature come more like Him. So we have temperance. And to temperance we are to add patience. Patience, this is a hard one. We have a whole description of how we can have our patience grown in Romans chapter 5. We can go from faith through tribulations, then to patience. And then eventually that will even lead us to love more. But we have here patience. It's a difficult thing. It's a hard thing. We all say, oh, I'd like to be more patient. Yep. But the kind of patience described here is endurance. It is the ability to stand strong even though you're under testing, trial, someone's bugging you no end. Your brother or your sister who pokes you over and over and over again just where it most annoys you? Yeah, that kind of, the endurance to sit there is a strength, right? It's to sit there strong and not lash out, to not be moved by it. It is more than just holding back, but even to love that person at the same time. That takes strength. Patience. Patience is a virtue, is the saying. It's a virtue that most of us don't possess, if you want to make the saying more accurate. This is something that is divine nature, though. How long did God patiently wait for you while you failed and trespassed and sinned against Him over and over and over again? And then you came to Him for salvation. And then after you were saved, how many times has God graciously extended you a blessing and then you turn around and you slap Him in the face with it? How many times? Over and over and over again. God is so patient with us. We need to be more like Him. We need to have this added to our knowledge and our temperance. We need patience with one another. Sometimes the end we want doesn't come right away. You may have prayed for something. You may have prayed for healing, or you may have prayed concerning a particular situation, maybe a loved one who does not know Jesus as Savior, and you've prayed. And you've prayed a lot. And you've prayed long and hard. And it seems that the answer hasn't come. You need God to give you the endurance to continue. Not to lose hope, but to, in strength, look to God. Patience. That's probably one of the most difficult one that I saw in this list. The most difficult because it touches us every day. Some of these other ones you might say, oh, well, I'm not failing at this one or that one. But patience, all of us are failing every day. All of us. Whether we say anything or not, in our heart we're like, oh, why could that happen again? God, why haven't you answered me yet? We don't have patience. And to our patience, we are to add godliness. Now at first, when I was reading through this passage, I actually kind of took this one for granted. You know, you might think it's just a tag on, a throwaway word, just godliness, you know? Why is Peter making such a point in this very short list? How many are there? 8 things. The 8 things that are listed here, and one of them is godliness. This isn't just a throwaway phrase. This isn't Peter saying, oh yeah, and add godliness because, you know, that makes you look spiritual. No, he puts this one in here specifically. He has chosen these specific characteristics of God's nature that we can mimic or exemplify, that can grow in our lives day by day, that can get more and more, and godliness is one of them. This means to be like God. To have God, that is godliness. I'm not talking about putting on spirituality like your Sunday best, you know, and saying, look at me, aren't I great? No, this is putting on God-likeness. And again, we're not putting on God's strength or his immenseness. He is everywhere at once, yet we're not putting that on. No, we're putting on his kindness and holiness. We're putting on his love for others. And we'll see some of these listed out just after this. But godliness sums up a lot of the things that we are specifically saying in patience and temperance, knowledge, virtue, and kindness, and charity. Yet it is taking them to the nth degree. Godliness is going beyond what man can do. You see, you might look to someone and they turn over a new leaf. Maybe you know that phrase. And they've done something that they can do. They have held off from doing something bad that they realize is bad, and so they no longer do it. And we say, oh, they turned over a new leaf. They did something that was in man's power. But here we are being asked to do something that is only God's. God-likeness is not something we humanly can attain to. Godliness here is something we cannot attain to. It is showing God's nature in our lives. It's crazy. Crazy to think that God could do that. What is it that is above what we could do? Well, it is to have his aims. You know, it is that positive actions of good. You know, we often think of holiness as avoiding those bad things, right? But godliness is the opposite. It is pursuing those things that are God's aim. It is to go out and talk to that person who is sinning and say, this isn't pleasing to God. It is handing that cup of water to someone who is thirsty in the name of Jesus, giving them water. It is the positive actions that are like God. God did not sit up in heaven, I'm holy, you're not holy, and just stand there. No, God reached out to us when we were helpless and we were without hope in this world. And he reached out to us. How do we show a God-like attitude? We serve him every way he asks us, and we help others even when it's not convenient. And God-likeness is seen in us. And it's something that is not humanly done. I'm not talking about us doing our humanly strength things, but rather us relying upon God to help us to do things that are in his likeness. Jesus did the amazing and impossible thing. He died for our sins. We cannot die for other sins, but maybe we can bring them to him. We can do the thing that's not socially acceptable and talk to friends and neighbors and relatives about religion. You know, isn't that one of the topics that's off limits? Yeah. No, we can go to them and talk to them. We can show godliness. Continuing on here quickly, we have brotherly kindness. This is another description of love, brotherly kindness, but it is focused upon the kindliness of the actions. When you're kind to someone, you do what is in their best interest, and you do it with a smile, right? You do it joyfully. This is not the way the world does kindnesses. This is how a Christian should do it. And again, all of these things are to be done at once. We're not to focus on, oh, well, I'm kind of a joyful person. I'm going to do this one. Or I like knowing things, so I'm going to focus on knowledge and knowing God more, and I'm going to ignore the rest. No. You need all of these at once, all of them growing and abounding, all of them every day diligently, not failing, not falling behind, every day going for the nature of God. The final one is charity, and we can't minimize this one, though we don't have much time. Charity is that selfless love that gives even when there's nothing more to give. And this is often called the pinnacle, hope, faith, charity, the pinnacle of what we can do in godliness. And so we have here a description of the things that we can add alongside of faith that we need to work on every single day. You're not going to be diligent unless you purpose to be diligent. But you're not going to be able to fulfill this unless God is helping you. There is no way to accomplish this task without God. We find in verses 8 through 12 that these things, and we don't have time to look at them too much, but these things are the fruitfulness in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8 it says, "For if you do these things, they be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is fruitfulness. This is fruitfulness. Sometimes we look at numbers or we look at, you know, how many people are attending and we say, oh, God's blessing the church. No, God's blessing the church when each person who comes has this nature growing every day in their life. Know God. Come to know Him more. In verse 3, we have a promise that Jesus has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through His divine power. And if you want to encourage yourself, oh, I don't think I'm up to this task of being diligent every day and growing in these areas, Jesus has already promised, He's already given us all things for life and godliness. He's already opened the way. Let's start living according to His nature. As we close, I call out to you, will you make this your goal? Will you make this your aim? That you will diligently walk in faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Not just today, not just tomorrow. And don't treat it like dieting. I'm sorry I brought that illustration up earlier, because nobody ever succeeds the first or second or third time they try that one. No. Do actually make this a commitment in your heart. I want to grow today. I want to grow more tomorrow. I want to be closer to God. I want these aspects of God's nature to be just abundant in my life. Not one or two, but all of them. God has given us the power. Jesus has prepared the way. Let us go forth and be completely fruitful for Him. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for the challenge of it. We ask, Lord, that You would give us the stick-to-itiveness to be diligent in all aspects of our life, giving our entire being to serving You, that these fruits might be found in our lives. And Father, we thank You that You are a good and gracious God and that You do not reject us for one failure, but that You bring us back to You time and time again. And Lord, we ask that You would help us to exhibit these same characteristics. In Jesus' precious name and for Your glory, amen.